Next item on the agenda is an update to the City of Newport News on 93-0902.
Yes, sir. Project that's obviously been around for some time. Okay, hopefully make this fairly quick, fairly brief update on the status of the ICTIO Plankton Monitoring Program that the City has, of Newport News, has undertaken in conjunction with the permit that was approved by this Commission in August of 2004. What you see here is just the cover page of the permit, of the second year annual report that was prepared by the City and their contractors. This report is available online at the City of Newport News Waterworks website on their webpage. There's quite a bit of information there along with other status reports on other monitoring programs. In fact, the first year's monitoring report is available there as well. So we didn't reproduce the whole report and put it in your notebook, but it is available if you want to go to that website and take a look at it. When the Commission approved the permit, obviously a major concern was effect of the intake structure on fishery resources, particularly anadromous species and American shad, and an eight-year monitoring program was required to determine the pumping hiatus that would be in effect in the spring of the year when the anadromous fish were spawning in the area. The first 2 years of the study were intended to be a pilot study, and the latter 6 years, years 3 through 8, were the extended study. What the City has done at this point is completing the pilot portion of that study the first 2 years, and we'll just give you a little background on where that stands. Just to remind you of the elements of the King William Reservoir Project, it's in King William County. This is West Point. This between the Mattapony and Pamunkey Rivers is King William County. The proposed reservoir will be in this area here. The project includes the intake in the Mattapony at what's called Scotland Landing, pipeline, a distribution pipeline to the reservoir itself, and then a pipeline from the reservoir across Cohoke Creek under the Pamunkey River and then to Dyson Reservoir, with actually a discharge in Beaver Dam Creek just above Dyson Reservoir. Just for references, this is Interstate 64. This is the exit to West Point on Route 33. This is just a map that's included in the report. What it shows here is the Mattapony River, West Point at the mouth, and these are the river miles from zero at West Point upriver to about Beulahville, about mile 50-54. And the study, ichthyoplankton study, you'll see in some other photographs, occurs from about Beulahville down to past the intake at Scotland Landing to about the Mattapony Reservation in this area here. Just real quickly, as a reminder, the intake structure was what was permitted by the Commission in the Mattapony River. This is an aerial view of that section of the river looking to the south. The Commission also approved the pipeline crossing of Cohoke Creek and the pipeline crossing the Pamunkey River and the discharge structure in Beaver Dam Creek near Dyson Reservoir. The King William Reservoir itself, the impoundment of Cohoke Creek, does not require a permit from the Commission, or did not require a permit from the Commission. It's authorized by statute. Here's another aerial view of the intake location on the Mattapony River, looking more to the east. Intake location, they basically in this general vicinity here. You have King William County to the right and King and Queen County across the river to the left. This is a ground shot at the intake site, fairly high bluff on the King William side of the river, the Mattapony River, and then extensive marsh area on the other side in King and Queen County. This is just a diagram, a depiction of the intake itself. And just as a reminder, there's a number of features associated with the intake as well to reduce impacts on fishery resources. One was the slot size between the wedge wire screens, 1 millimeter. The intake velocities were reduced to, I believe, 0.15 feet per second across the screens. And also the permit required that the city look at, do a study to determine what the proper orientation of those intakes should be given the currents in the river to also reduce impacts on fisheries resources when the intake structure is in operation. Now, of course, the ichthyoplankton monitoring that's ongoing is to look at when the fish are spawning in the river to come up, as I said earlier, with a pumping hiatus so that operation of this structure would be suspended for a period in the spring during the spawning season. This is a schematic included in the report that shows the division, how the river was divided into strata from the Indian Reservation upstream to about Beulahville, and then within each strata, for sampling purposes, you had segments where randomly sampling would occur throughout the sample period each year. The pilot study called for looking at any differences that might occur during day and night sampling, and also looked at what might have occurred in the shoal for sampling versus in the channel for sampling. This is a better depiction of the strata in the river, beginning at the downstream or tidal sections near the Indian Reservation. Moving upstream, you have strata 1 and 2 intake location here at the break between 2 and 3. And then an extending upstream to Aylett, which is about the end of tidal influence. And then you had your additional strata upstream to Beulahville. Basically, this covered the non-tidal portion of the Mattapony River. This is a copy of the data that was the depiction of the data for American shad that's in the report for the 2006 sampling effort. You have stratum 1 is the downstream, most downstream area extending upstream to Beulahville, which is stratum 10. The eggs are what was the red when they discovered eggs in their samples. The green depicts the yolk sac larvae, and the black depicts the post-yolk sac larvae. Most of your egg production appears to be further upstream. However, you get more of your larvae downstream, with a few samples showing egg production downstream as well. Again, the intake would be between stratum 2 and stratum 3. I think one interesting thing to note here is that the months are shown in the bars here. This starts March, April, next bar, and May, June, July, and that only one egg was sampled in 2006 after May. And this would be the 2007 data for American shad. Again, similar to the previous year, eggs more upstream seems to be juvenile or yolk or larvae, I should say, downstream. And no eggs appear to have been collected after May in 2007. Based on the first report from last year and this year's report, we asked VIMS to provide any comments they might have or observations they might have regarding what was presented. They made a few observations and made a few comments. This captures what I thought were the major points that they had brought up. In the first year, they had recommended that the pre-operational study ought to be extended downriver further, because they had noted in some of their sampling that you would get larvae further downstream than the Indian Reservation. that part of this study, which included juveniles and otolith examination for determining hatch dates, that they should also collect juveniles from further downstream that had been collected in the first year. And also, in response to the first year report, they recommended taxonomic method that should do a better job of stating taxonomic methods and provide more complete presentation on sample methods. Following the second year report, which is this past year, BIMS looked at it. They felt the report was much better. Felt pretty good about the direction that city and their contractors were taking. However, they did suggest that the city and their contractors should look at a way to estimate the gear efficiency and incorporate that method into estimate of egg and larval production for the plankton survey. That's something I think the city has seen those comments from BIMS. They're considering how they might need to address that, and I think that's something we'll need to consider as this study moves along. I think it needs to be kept in mind that at the end of the eight-year study, the city is charged with putting together the report, making their recommendations on the pumping hiatus. The commission at that point will need to make a decision on accepting the report and agreeing to or not agreeing to the proposed pumping hiatus that would occur in the spring of the year. So I think what will happen is as this data comes in each year and as it's presented, it will be important for the city to present it in the best light and the best way so that it supports their proposal, and so that at the end of 8 years, we don't have some disagreement on maybe how the data is treated or what the results suggest in terms of the pump and hiatus. So that's something we'll just continue to have to work with the city and BIMS on, I think. But it will be a point in time after 8 years that this commission will be asked to make that decision on the exact time period for that pumping hiatus. And that pumping hiatus will be tied to temperatures in the river. At certain temperatures, the fish arrive, the eggs they start to be produced, and the larvae start to progress through the river, and there's going to be a temperature trigger at the beginning, a temperature trigger at the end that will signal the beginning and the end of the pumping for the intakes. With the comments in mind and looking at the data that the city, and looking at their data, the city and their contractors had made some recommendations for their extended study. One, they are moving further downriver with their sample collection. They're going to define two new strata, X1 and X2. That will go down to about River Mile 12, some distance below the Indian Reservation. They're going to retain their originally planned 13 sampling events. Throughout the study period in the next years, and that will begin in late February or the first part of March, depending on temperatures in the river, and extend to about the last week of May. The pilot study extended much longer just to get an idea of what is in the river beyond that period. But with the sampling data, they thought this was an appropriate time frame for the information to provide data to support a pumping hiatus temperature triggers. Again, they'll start their studies as the water gets about 8 degrees C at midway in the sample area near Walkerton. And as a result of moving downstream and as a result of where they found fish and eggs and larvae in their sampling, they're going to redistribute some of their strata, I think, locations and where they collect their data sort of upriver. Just graphic depiction of the strata extension downstream. Again, this was the Indian Reservation. The previous sampling ended about here. They will extend downriver from about River Mile 18 to about River Mile 12 with their sampling in the extended study. And this is a timeline showing just what was happening during the pilot study, and this is what had been proposed for the extended study when they first put all this together, and this is about what they'll be following for the extended study in years 3 through 8. As this goes along, you'll sample for about 13 weeks from when water temperature reaches 8 degrees until about the end of May. And that's really all I have. We don't think any action is required by the commission at this point. We believe that what's been done is consistent with the requirements of the permit and consistent with what was necessary in the requirements of the permit for the extended study. And I think that it'll be important in the end that all that information is put together and that it'll be presented to the commission in 8 years. So after the study started. So really what we wanted to do was just make the commission aware of where this stood, what's going on, and where this will be after the study is complete in another 6 years. I know the city and their contractor representative are here. I don't know if they had anything to add, but that was basically all we had from staff at this point.
Okay. Any questions of Tony?
Good report, Tony. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Fox.
Since we had a low abundance of shad in 2006-2007 when the preliminary study was made, and we didn't find much after the end of May, why would we allow the city to cut off the studies at the end of May when something might be found after that time in a year when abundance was higher? Why wouldn't we insist that the city go to the end of June with their studies, for example?
Well, I think the original permit contemplated that that could be done. I think the cities and their contractors felt that even though the abundance was low, and Vims has pointed to that that's just something that needs to be considered as this moves along. It might change from year to year through year 8. The city had proposed that they end it at the end of the May. They felt like that would provide them the data necessary to define their triggers, temperature triggers for the pump and Hyas. Vims has looked at the information, and they haven't raised a concern that it should be extended at this point. And as a result, we did not recommend that it be extended at this point either. I think in the end, it will boil down to whether or not the data the city has and the data they use to base their temperature triggers and duration of pumping hiatus is reasonable based on the evidence that they get. So, you know, I guess from the city's perspective, they feel like they're going to have enough to justify their decision in the end, but it'll be up to the commission to make that decision.
Mr. Schick?
It, the temperature that really triggers the what they need to sample more than the actual month. So in a higher abundance, it's not going to change much beyond the temperature triggers.
I guess that's one way to look at it. I mean, I guess that's possible. But I do think Mr. Fox's point is well taken. I mean, you could have something different down the road.
And if we find samples that are close to the end of the, you know, the temperature trigger, and the end of the month of May, then it may call for.
I guess it would be up to the city as they're making their doing their sampling each year, and they're seeing a lot of eggs in the river. Whether they want to keep sampling during that year, at that point, or whether they're just going to cut it off. I think that will. You know, we're not going to know that until they've given us their report that year, what it was looking like at the end of May. So they're going to be sampling as they go along and to make that call.
It's certainly in the city's interest not to sample any later than they are required to. And so we'll never know what they would have found if they had sampled in June.
That's true.
So how do we make them sample in June?
Well, I guess it's a matter of the commission directing that to be done, or the city agreeing to do that based on what you've expressed as concern here today.
Well, maybe a representative from VIMS can tell us whether it's a waste of time to do something.
And the city's here too. They may want to address it as well.
Would you like to hear from VIMS first? Either one of y'all, and I do mean in the proper perspective, qualified to respond to that, or which two? Lyle?
Lyle Varnell.
I know, but I wasn't going to put you out there unless you agreed to.
No, these are good questions, Mr. Fox, and this has all been done through the deliberations of the project in the interim, and that was based on the consent between the for the conditions of the permit between the applicant and the agency here. We did have input in that. We continue, based on state and federal budget considerations, to do our own work with the anadromous fish and our fisheries department, so we will have that information itself. In defense of what is actually on the books now, you really can't control the weather. And the weather is the major controller, flow, meteorological events, and we are in a low, of course, in a low population time, and we've had a few anomalous, well, one would say not normal weather patterns over the course of this, but that's uncontrollable, and that's part of the condition of the permit. But I will say while I'm up here very quickly, it is a temperature control, but it is based on the protection of, I think, 97, 98% of the population in the few years and then 95 of the other. And the big algorithm in the room is the population. You want to get accurate population estimates. And that's mainly what we do, what we have commented on is how the population is being done. We cannot control the weather and the sampling that is there for them at this time. So we're working with that, and we continue to be an advisor to the commission and to the applicant and the agent.
So. Further questions?
Well, are you saying that it doesn't make any sense to test in June, or it would make sense to test in June?
It makes sense to test pretty much all the time when you have weather conditions as such, because anadromous fish respond to temperature. Temperature is not consistent between years and river flow and et cetera. But we have worked with them and what is reasonable to go. And at that time, we worked very closely with the applicant and the agent on what their sampling design was, and we continue to do so, based on what comes from the other sampling. It's very difficult. We can't sample all year round ourselves, mm-hmm. So we have to design to where we think we can meet those challenges of proper estimation.
Well, so, again, do you think it would be beneficial if the city were required to test a little bit longer?
Based on their data, they are correct. They're not getting anything after May. However, if weather changes and we will not know that beforehand, yes, it would be good to sample some, but it depends on if you're looking from having history be your guide or as to what you might want it optimally to go from.
So. Dr. McConaughey?
Is the sampling program flexible enough that if they're getting large numbers of eggs at the end of May, that they would be able to continue to sample?
Based on what we have reviewed from the two sampling programs before, I don't know that there's that flexibility, but I won't answer for the applicant on that one. I'll let them do that.
Okay. Thank you, Lyle. Sure. Appreciate it. Dr. McConaughey, did you want to?
Well,
the applicant represented?
I'm not sure who to address it to.
Permittee, not applicant. I'm sorry. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
State your name, please, for the record.
My name is Paul Peterson. I work with Malcolm Perney, and we're the contractor hired by the city to manage this monitoring program.
Dr. McConaughey?
Yeah, I mean, if the weather changes and you see large numbers of eggs through May, are you flexible enough in terms of your funding and things to continue into June to see what's going on? Or
one of the logistical problems we have with that flexibility on the end of the spawning season monitoring is the ability to determine that those are actually shad eggs, American shad eggs. Basically, our team are collecting the eggs and larvae, preserving those appropriately, and then they have to go through a lab analysis, and that's actually the critical path in terms of getting these reports in, is really completing the lab analysis. It's so extensive. So it's usually months after the monitoring has actually concluded before we have the tabulation to say whether we don't know what those eggs are. When we collect them in the field, we just are collecting them and preserving them. That's the hard part. Now, on the other hand, we do know from weather patterns, and we're monitoring water temperatures on an hourly basis at multiple stations. That part we would know about. So I suppose if we had a very unusually cold spring and water temperatures were well down below what they had been in prior years, we might want to look at that, you know, in terms of should we maybe reallocate some sampling to extend it But it wouldn't be because of egg abundance, because we wouldn't have those numbers. I think it would be based on if we saw some really unusual weather patterns.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've sampled in a lot of plankton, and I know it takes a while. It's what we right. have graduate students for.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry. Just a comment. It seems to me that it's in the city's interest not to find any eggs. And so if they don't look, they won't find any.
Okay.
So it seems to me cutting off at the end of May means you might cut off finding some. And we might learn something if we did find them.
I'm not, Bob. The permit, since I was not commissioner here, is the permit pliable or flexible enough that we could go in and after we've issued the permit and ask for different testing parameters to be done that were not previously discussed? In other words, doing what Mr. Fox is saying as far as the testing is concerned into May? I mean, I don't want...
Well, like, and Tony can correct me, my recollection is that it's the population dynamics, 95, 97, whatever percentage
right.
is that will control when the hiatus is supposed to be. You know, if the city's tests say that, as of May 31st, our data show that there are eggs there, the question really becomes down the road, well, what percentage of the population that are you not missing? And the city may make a recommendation. The commission may extend the back end on the study to modify the hiatus. It would seem, the gentleman indicated, that it's a question really not so much of analysis as it is redirecting some of the sampling. It would seem to me that if that's a concern, one could sample and preserve the plankton totus and not go through the analysis unless the analysis of the May samples show a high abundance, you know, of shad eggs. In other words, you have a sample population that you could actually further analyze. But I don't know. I think ultimately it'll be up to the commission to decide whether they feel that the hiatus is sufficient to preserve that percentage of the
okay.
population.
But if you don't test, you won't know.
Well, they won't know. I think the commission can ultimately say, we don't, based on the high sampling of eggs, we don't think that you're getting 95 or 97% protection. And therefore, the commission as a whole could say, we think the hiatus ought to extend, you know, an additional period of time. And then there's not the data for the city, quite frankly, to refute and say, well, that's unnecessary. So it's a question of where the burden, you know, is placed. But it would seem to me that, if the city thought they wanted to argue against a shorter hiatus, that it would be in their interest.
To sample.
To preserve the samples just in case, a particular year shows that I've got a high percentage of shad eggs in the latter parts of the sampling period.
So actually, to find more eggs, it's better. They want more eggs to show up, showing that the population is strong.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I think you'd like to see a population curve. You know where the eggs would be.
In the period of time where you think they're going to be.
Yes, and
right.
Tailing off.
That's what I mean.
Right. It's beneficial to them to heat. Make sure they sample through the peaks.
Through the bell curve, yeah.
Which, I mean, the tails are not as important.
So they can have a defensible data set,
right.
correct?
Yeah.
Just to try to further address the question about the permit, if you look in your packet on page 2-5, condition 20, I think the last sentence there addresses the pilot study requirements to sample until the river reaches 28 degrees C, and then that the monitoring program would be based on the results of the first 2 years. The time period of monitoring program results on would be based on the results of the first 2 years. So that's the permit condition that we're sort of talking about. And I also want to point out that if, in the end, there is a disagreement on what the temperature trigger should be, and the decision is not made, and the city wants to go into operation for the, of the intake, then they can't. There's a at the bottom of the page there, it addresses what the default pumping period is, or hiatus is, and that's March 1 through July 31st of each year is the default if a temperature trigger can't be agreed on.
Further questions?
Can I offer one other
Absolutely.
piece of information? Tony in his slides didn't had some pictures from the year two report, but one graph he did not have is figure 8-1. It's from our year two monitoring report. And in figure 8-1, tried to portray these data we collected over the first 2 years in a way that would show the percentage of the total catch of American shad by calendar date. And this is important for this question of how long to extend the monitoring for years 3 through 8. And what we found in year one was that we identified where 99% of the catch of American shad had been collected by in our sampling. For year one, for the shad eggs, that was by May the 21. For the yolk sac larvae, that was by May 7. And then in year two, which was 2007, 99% of the eggs were collected by May the 13. Likewise, May the 13 for the yolk sac larvae. So what we were finding is that for our sampling for those 2 years extended all the way through July and even into early August one of the years. And so what we found in for those 2 years, mid-May, we were collecting 99% of what we caught, and all that additional monitoring after that, we weren't collecting a whole lot. And it's very expensive and time-consuming, obviously, to do that. So what we tried to do for the extended survey recommendations is to allocate the sampling to when we were really expected to collect almost all the eggs and larvae. So that was simply stated the intent.
Mm-hmm. Paul, if you want to set that here, I think you could show the graphs you're talking about.
So it's not the quantity of the eggs, it's the grouping of the eggs based on the temperature and time.
That's not coming up very good. Yeah. Well, I was the talking percentages of the total catch. I said 99%, so of the standing stock estimates that we calculated for these 2 years, we're saying that we're looking at it on a percentage basis to make sure we've captured the majority of the population.
Do you have the temperatures on any of that?
Not on these graphics. So these are the percentages of the total catch on the vertical axis and the sampling week on the x-axis. Can we focus that? See those 99% vertical lines?
Yeah.
Where's the pointer?
Yes, we don't have
one. All right, I'll look.
These are the 99% lines that we're marking. So the cumulative percentage of the population is here, and then reaching that by overall. This makes 7, and 21 is the main surface. And as I said, we extended sampling for those first 2 years out all the way through.
Mm-mm.
So
I
what's that on the bottom two? What's the first inflection? What percentage? That's about 90%. What are those dates? I can't really read them.
Are you talking about these points?
Yeah.
Late April.
Okay. You've got about 80 to 90% by the end of April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, it's obvious.
Very little beyond May.
Is that pointer?
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Being no further business at the present time, we're going to adjourn until about 12:15, 12:20. I understand that the fishery items were advertised for noon, so we'll give a little bit more time after that. We'll have public comments, and we'll get right into the fishery items. We'll be adjourned until 12:20.